Ah, you're a real blue flame special, aren't you, son? Young, dumb, and full of zombie takeout. Hello, and welcome to episode 480 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just wanted to wish everybody a happy Pride as we're recording this on June 1st. Also mention that this is kicking off a Keanu Reeves trilogy on Zombie Takeout. And concurrently, on The Hearing, we're doing a Bob Mould trilogy. The Bob Mould trilogy was put in June for a reason. Bob's gay. The Keanu Reeves trilogy was not. This is just when we happen to get to it. We are not implying anything about Keanu. I just wanted to be clear about that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, not at all. Especially in my case. But yeah. I just wanted to make that clear before anybody thought we were implying anything about Keanu. And that brings us to this week's movie, which is from 1991. Point Break, like I said, kicking off a Keanu Reeves trilogy. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Cold Pizza. It's good for breakfast.
And also brought to you by Assured Trust Savings and Loan Bank. Come for the cash drawer, stay for the sandwich shop around the corner. It's so good, you'll want two. You'll want two. All right, so we have...
Took me a minute.
We begin with a former college football star turned FBI agent. He decided to go out to LA for some reason or another and join the bank robbery unit. And he gets introduced to an old gruff partner who's getting too old for this shit. And there's this group of bank robbers that they just haven't been able to solve, even though they have a really, you know, strict pattern of only striking during the summer months and disappearing until summer comes back. They're usually pretty neat. They come in like 90 seconds, empty the cash drawer, and get out. And his old partner has a theory that everyone laughs at, but it of course turns out to be true that they are surfers. I don't know about the science of air particles and figuring out which beach to trace someone to, but hey, you know, that's fun.
There's a lot in this movie that really brings to mind the ending of the MST3K theme.
It's just
a show you should really just relax.
I was thinking Austin Powers, of course. So, like, you know, and don't think too much about this when they turn to the camera. Because once you start thinking about this just...
Oh, yeah.
And it just loses everything. But anyway, we have... So they figure it out. He decides he's going to be a creeper and try to infiltrate a surf unit. Even though it doesn't look like his unit has like an undercover thing, and I guess that's something that they would actually train for in the academy to do, he just goes and does it anyway. He picks up this girl to get in to infiltrate, to learn how to surf, and then meet other surfers.
And that's when he really becomes a creeper.
Yeah, well, he tells the girl that his parents died. And I'm just like, huh? Really? Okay, I mean, did you really need to do that? But anyway.
And then uses FBI resources to stalk her.
To come up with that, concoct that story about his parents dying because he saw that her parents had died. He learns how to surf, runs into her friends, who of course happen to be the bank robbers. It's like, okay. So he could really solve this whole thing in about a matter of 15 minutes of movie time. But wait, there's more. He really thinks it's this neo-Nazi Red Hot Chili Pepper surf group that's
one of them was played by Anton Nikitas.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it weird because we're watching Obi-Wan Kenobi with Lee as the bounty hunter?
Yeah, well, he's just in like the first two episodes, but yeah, then this week we get Anthony Kiedis.
Spoilers.
It's Flea. He didn't need to. You don't expect him to have a recurring role.
But he's not fair.
Anyway.
Anyway, best movie. So, of course, they go on this raid. They, for some reason, bring the cop that's supposed to be undercover on the raid with them. But it turns into this beautiful shit show, which you're just not expecting. You're expecting them to just come in and kick ass and, get out of there. But instead, almost turns into a Coen Brothers Raising Arizona scene with just guns going off in all different directions, a lawnmower really fucking everything over communication-wise, and then to top it off, it turns out one of the people that they bust is a cop, and so they're in the doghouse again, and John McGinley as a screaming, police captain. You
Possibly the
can't.
best part of the movie.
You can't get better than that for the old screaming captain trope, which at this point was, it was maybe about 6 or 7 years past
And
relevant.
given that Busey plays the gruff partner, saying that about McGinley is saying a lot.
Right, that's true. So they, for like, I don't know how many times, they're in deep trouble now, and instead they wind up just working back the case still. You then find out that he figures out who the real robbers are right under his nose the whole time, and after like pretty much befriending all of them and becoming one of them, has to of course then turn around to bust them. And again, they have him staking out the bank, knowing that the people he's infiltrated are going to rob it. It's like, wait, what? How? McGinley's a stupid captain. I mean, if you have an undercover guy, you don't want him anywhere
No,
near
no.
staking out places. He
No.
could be seen staking a place out. Hey, that's Utah over there. What's he doing with that cop in the car?
The
So
movie
they.
is kind of like the line I used for the intro.
So they of course they take their eye off the ball. Well, at least Busey does. He doesn't seem to take the stakeout very seriously, isn't really paying attention, sends Utah for lunch at like 10:30 in the morning. I was almost expecting a swerve of Busey being
Same.
in on it.
Same. I about three times in the movie, I expected him to turn out to be working with the bad guys.
Because he was,
Acting really
so
sketchy for no reason.
incompetent. But then you thought, well, wait a minute, that wouldn't make any sense because he's the one that had the theory in the first place. If he
True.
was working with them, he'd be, I got nothing. I don't
Right.
know anything about this. But instead, they go on this crazy chase, which, I mean, pretty much a top-notch action
Oh, yeah.
chase if they're was one in a movie. I mean, I can't remember the one we've seen. Normally, chase scenes really bore me in movies these days, and it's rare to find one that's like, who the fuck knows how this is really
Right.
gonna end? And of course, it ends with the scene that they parody in Hot Fuzz with him shooting up in the air, and
Right.
you're like, ah.
Although it did make me very aware of how dangerous these sort of things would actually be in real life.
Of course. It's just insane to like a high speed thing and running through people's houses. And I mean, there were so many weird things in that chase too, where he like throws the dog at him. Like, how? What? How did he pick the dog up first? And then how did he have the wherewithal for to throw the dog and the dog just be cool with it? But anyway, his cover is officially blown because they look at each other before they make their escape. And I'm thinking, wow, well, there must not be much left of this movie, checking the time. And it's like, wait, there's almost a goddamn hour left. So from
And it
here it
wasn't
gets
wasted.
really weird after this. He goes to tell his girlfriend, who is of course friends of the bank robbers. And then you realize he's been taking her to his actual house. He's supposed to be undercover. And he's taking her to her house, to his actual home, where he even winds up laying his FBI badge out for her to find later on. So she storms off when she figures this out, that he's actually an FBI agent and that he lied to her. The bank robbers come to his house. They don't skip town or anything. No, no, no. They go to bring him skydiving. And he goes along with it. And they skydive. And they don't attempt to kill him or anything. They just skydive. And then they force him to rob a bank with them. And people think he's really in on the bank robbery, even though he identified himself eventually as an agent and still got shot anyway. And they, of course, have a chase scene. They use this insurance policy to keep him in, that they have the his girlfriend and kept captive, which I had just assumed was a ruse. You know, like, I assumed she was pissed at him and went in on, like, a charade, which made perfect sense.
Right.
But said, nope, nope, it's all on the up and up. They're very honorable robbers. When they say something, they mean it. When they take you skydiving, they're not going to kill you. That wouldn't be gentlemanly. And
even toward the end of that chase, when they shoot, they could have killed him easily.
Oh, yeah.
They could have just, you know, he's got a gun right there. He can just, you know, shoot him. It was the Scott Evil moment.
Right. So they take the bank robbery goes sideways.
Yeah.
They never explain why he goes for the vault in his last assignment. But I think I have a theory that we can talk later about.
Okay.
It goes sideways. They wind up leaving him behind. He's supposed to be under arrest, even though it was obviously a hostage situation because he was pretty banged up and he didn't have any ammo in his gun. They took all the ammo out of his gun before the robbery, so it was clear that he was not a willing participant in the robbery. And you would think that's the end of the movie, he's in trouble or under arrest this time. Instead, they let him go off with Busey, who he knows where they're going to be taking off from, so they chase them down at the airport, and he winds up getting in with them and going. And, well, I mean, of course, there's a lot of blood. Yeah. But he winds up getting in with them. And they, of course, go for another skydive together.
Well, something at the airport before they left, they could have just easily killed him and went off and brought him with them.
Right.
It made
no sense. Why bother bringing him with them? Why would you bring him with you? None of that made any sense.
I think because Bodhi, Swayze's character, wanted to turn him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of what could have been going on there. And so they wind up in the desert, and you could say hilarity ensues, but I think what happened was...
Well, it did.
I think the last scene, when they go, they're in Australia, that just reeked of test screening. You know?
Like, kind of, yeah.
Like, it reeked of they had some other ending, and it didn't do well in test screening.
Although they foreshadow it.
They do. That's true. They do foreshadow it. So. But you just get the feeling that there might have been another ending involved, and it just didn't go over well, and all of a sudden they're in Australia and everybody else is gone.
Now, I accidentally skipped over a listener submitted earlier, but it kind of works out because Bodo had a tweet about the movie. So he said, "I absolutely can't stand this movie. I know everybody loves Point Break. I do not. I'd give it half a brain, and that's just because it has Keanu Reeves." Now, going in, I fully expected to agree with Bodo, except for the Keanu Reeves part.
I expected a giant turd, and mostly because of the Keanu Reeves parts.
I ended up liking it. Admittedly, I ended up liking it in the way that I like Hackers.
I would say up until they identify each other, I was going to recommend this.
Oh wow. I'm still on the fence. But it's not a good movie.
No.
But it's a fun movie.
I mean, it's kind of frustrating because they had such great action sequences in this movie, but whoever put the script together should be beaten with it. It's just like, what were they thinking?
It was initially, I don't, it was floating around, but when it got to Bigelow,
Yeah.
she was married to Cameron at the time, James Cameron.
Right.
They worked on it. James Cameron worked on the script, so.
Whew.
But at the start of the movie, they kind of juxtapose Bodhi, and I'll get to the name later. Joe Bodhi surfing and Keanu's character, Johnny,
Yeah.
on a shooting range just as he's joining the FBI. And one of the other FBI agents calls him Utah.
Right, I'm expecting that.
That's
That's
a
just where
nickname.
he's from.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nickname. He's from Utah. No, the character's name is
Johnny Utah,
Johnny Utah.
which is ridiculous.
It was kind of annoying. But then we see McGinley. John C. McGinley is brilliant in anything, as is Gary Busey. So those were two big,
Yeah.
things going through the movie. McGinley calls him, as I mentioned in the intro, Blue Flame Special. I had to look that up, and the only thing I could find were references to this movie.
Yeah, I don't know what I think it was a take on the blue light special, but I'm
Or
not
Blue Plate
sure.
Special is what Urban Dictionary said.
Oh.
So, but
Well,
it basically
Kmart had
just,
a blue light special that when something was on sale, something they wanted to get rid of, they'd throw a blue light over it. And to alert people to come and buy the sale that only lasted for an hour.
I think a Blue Plate Special is kind of a similar idea in,
Probably,
culinary
yeah.
circles. But the sudden bank robbery was a nice touch because we get into the FBI stuff and then all of a sudden we're hit with this bank robbery.
Yeah.
And the robbers wear president masks, which was a nice change. I think this was before the movie Dead Presidents, so that
Tough to
wasn't like a
say.
common expression.
No, I guess not.
It was just a nice tie-in. I wasn't buying Keanu going off on Busey until he really started screaming at him. Because one thing, and I think this is convenient since it's a trilogy, this almost kind of gave me, I'll say, an understanding of Keanu's acting style, if not an appreciation for it.
Oh, I was going to say, I think I've understood Keanu's acting style for a very long time now. There is none.
Well, he's a personality actor. He's the same guy in everything.
That's true. That is true. This is,
It's
this
the
is Bill and
same with,
Ted. This is Neo.
and it's the same with Nicholson and DeVito and a lot of people we like. It's just that whether or not you appreciate the character that he brings to each role, I'm kind of developing an appreciation, I think. I thought Keanu and Busey had great chemistry.
Well, Busey can act with anyone, I think,
Speaking of the Matrix, the scene where she pulls him out of the surf and he starts coughing reminded me of the scene when he was kind of being born outside of the Matrix. Of course, this
Oh.
was like nearly a decade before the Matrix.
Yeah. The whole fake surfing scenes. I mean, we had like a double montage on top of each other.
Oh, thank you for setting this up. I never need a montage.
Yeah.
Especially not one with cheesy, dated music. It was this like early 90s pseudo hippie bullshit.
And just the obvious, night filter, blue filter on the camera thing. It was pretty much like watching people from Hogan's Heroes trying to surf.
And the main bad guy, Swayze's character, was named Bodhisattva. If you're not familiar with the word, it's a Buddhist term.
Yeah.
It either means someone in the process of becoming a Buddha, or a being who could attain nirvana but chooses to stay on the cycle of death and rebirth until everyone reaches nirvana.
Or the Foo Fighters.
I'm kind of annoyed that they gave this pseudo-intellectual, wannabe spiritual surfer asshole that name. Though it's fitting because that is a name he would pick for himself, given who he is.
This could be my favorite Swayze performance.
I haven't seen enough of his work.
I mean, you know, Roadhouse.
Well, I've seen Roadhouse.
What's the dancing one that we quote that we stole the title
I've
from?
actually never seen it,
I forgot.
and
Dirty
I'm proud
Dancing.
of that.
Dirty Dancing. That's a weird ass movie.
One of these days, you're going to realize that you can force me to watch all of these, ridiculously popular movies that I have chosen to ignore.
I mean, I don't even know how I saw it, honestly. I mean, I'm sure there I was just an innocent bystander and wound up watching it, but yeah, just awful, awful movie. And I loved when Conan O'Brien did like this whole recurring bit about bringing it back, and then they finally bring it back, and he's like, "Why would you do this? This is terrible."
And as I've mentioned, Roadhouse is a horrible movie with some decent music and one good line.
Next to Kin, I think that's a
Never
Swayze
saw
one, I
that one.
think.
Yeah, it is, but I've never seen it. Now, during the football game on the beach, where they finally realize he's this,
Second montage.
yeah, I guess, he's this former college football player who they're all big fans of.
You know, at first I thought, how dumb is it to put like a former football star in as like an
Yeah,
undercover
as an
agent?
undercover cop, yeah.
And then I Googled former Ohio State University quarterbacks, and I mean, stop me if any of these guys sound familiar. And these are like the famous ones: Tom Tupa, Bobby Hoying, Art Schlichter,
I don't do sports,
or
so
Mike
none of them are gonna sound
Tomczak.
familiar to me.
No, they won't. You really need to have watched football closely to remember any of those guys. Hardly any of them have done anything.
But, apparently these guys are big college football fans, so, his name was familiar. But
Well, the fact that he played in the Rose Bowl too should have tipped off the girlfriend because he'd claimed he'd never been out there before.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly, wait, you were
Right.
here for this game? But
Right.
no, that doesn't.
No. It's a deeply stupid movie.
Oh yes, profoundly stupid movie.
But during that football game, the music, it's this cheesy, pop industrial thing that samples Smoke on the Water.
You know, I didn't know if it was a cover of Smoke on the Water or if they just sampled it. Why did they just get the Kenny Loggins Top Gun volleyball music?
Exactly.
Because that's what this was.
Incidentally, when the movie was made, McGinley was only 6 years older than, well, I mean, that he still is only 6 years older than Keanu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like way younger than Busey. And of
Yeah.
course, Busey mentions that towards the end.
Well, yeah, they mentioned that, but the captain is only 6 years older than the
Yeah.
rookie. That's just weird. McGinley was like 30. I did enjoy the hair sampling scene. They go to collect hair samples at this beach because they have this ridiculously pseudoscientific theory. And it's just this very short scene where they go up to people and find, bizarre excuses to cut off a lock of their hair. It was funny.
Well, they could have at least stumbled upon the person that actually did it if they were looking for a particular surfer. But no, it was to find which beach were they surfing.
And of course, the first one happened to be the right one. Then there's this bizarre scene where Keanu's surfing, and Busey is watching him from a car on the side of some random road somewhere. And
Totally inconspicuous.
Keanu gets attacked at a shower, and Busey just smiles. Like
Well,
apparently he'd gone off. He wasn't visible at that point. But then why was BC smiling?
I thought Busey couldn't see him.
Well, he does say that later. If you're not carrying, don't go out of the line of sight. But BC smiled right before he got attacked. It was weird. That was another one of those moments where I expected BC to be one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Also, that shower attack scene really felt like a prison rape scene.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when Bodhi goes in and tries to save him and basically says, he's my piece of meat. Claiming him as his prison bitch almost.
Almost kept thinking of the Reservoir Dog scene. They're talking about Top Gun.
Yeah. And the raid, I'll give it that. I'll give the movie this. The raid scene was surprisingly gory.
Oh yeah. Oh, that raid scene was great. Because you're expecting a really clean, like these guys really know what they're doing. And then you realize, no, they have no fucking clue what's going
And
on.
they're using sawed-off shotguns, and the holes look like they were made by sawed-off shotguns.
Yes.
Like, someone gets shot in the foot, they lose a few toes.
Yeah.
Someone, ends up getting shot in the head. There's a quarter-size wound. Although at one point, Keanu ends up wrestling this one guy with a knife on a lawn with a next to a lawnmower, and he's
Chekhov's lawnmower.
more of the knee injury was kind of a Chekhov's gun thing, but
Well, no, I mean, you do that.
yeah,
That
you saw it earlier.
lawnmower,
True,
the
they did make a big
lawnmower
deal
is
of it.
like the big tiered cake,
Right,
the
yeah, you're right, you're right.
pool.
It was the thing that fucked everything up, you're right.
I'm just gonna walk with this ladder here.
He's pushing the knife at this lawnmower. I guess he's thinking that the mower would wreck the blade or something.
I don't understand why anybody would have done that.
Little later, they lose Bodhi, of course. They're trying to
Yeah.
track him down, and Keanu says that he has lunch at Patrick's Roadhouse.
I caught that too.
Roadhouse was like 2 or 3 years before this. It
And
had to be a reference.
I thought it was, but there was, oh, I saw somewhere that it's an actual place. I think
Oh, okay.
there's an actual place in LA called it. But I mean, to me, it seems like
It was a Roadhouse reference.
yeah, it has to be a Roadhouse reference too, though.
I enjoyed the one of the dead presidents turning the gas pump into a flamethrower.
Oh yeah.
Completely unrealistic. Gas is only flammable in vapor form. So you could not do that with a gas pump, but it was fun to watch. And the skydiving scene almost makes me want to try it, and I am well past any adrenaline junkie days.
No, I think I'm good.
Oh yeah, but they make it look fun. Even in my adrenaline junkie days, I didn't want to jump out of an airplane.
Well, I think they really sell it with the second skydiving scene, considering he just jumps out without a chute.
Yeah.
And then, like, the odds of you actually surviving that are
Right.
pretty narrow, but hey, he does it. So that they sell it.
But during the skydiving scene, they're like talking to each other at like a volume you would use at like the back of a club if a band is playing. There are reasons people use headsets during, when they need to communicate with each other in that situation. Think of how sound works. You're never going to hear anyone.
So we did skip the final bank robbery
Oh,
scene,
okay.
and I think he sends them into the vault. I think he was planning on getting rid of them then.
I'm talking about the first skydiving scene. The
Oh,
bank
the
robbery
first.
was after
Oh,
that.
okay, yeah. I
Because I
thought we
do
were into
have.
the second one with the in the desert.
Because I have a note. I think it was on the way to that second one, when Bodhi says, project strength to avoid conflict. It's just the kind of fascist bullshit you would expect to hear from a character who calls himself Bodhisattva.
Maybe this is why Bodo hates the movie. The name is just too simple.
And Swayze, I gotta give him credit. He was just the right kind of creepy for the character.
Oh yeah, there was definitely he was definitely channeling Manson, I
Oh
thought.
yeah. You mentioned it was your favorite Swayze performance. I was gonna point out Donnie Darko.
Oh, I forgot about him in Donnie Darko.
But I think this might top Donnie Darko.
Yeah, although he was creepy in Donnie Darko, wasn't he? He
Yeah, oh,
was.
he was creepy and everything. Rest in peace, Patrick Swayze. I mean, he did some good work, but he knew how to play creepy. I'm not saying he was creepy in real life. I don't know,
I mean, he played a lot of faces, though, more than anything else, than heels
but
or
he just had a
creeps.
vibe around about him.
And yeah, I think it worked so much better when he was a heel than a
Oh
face.
yeah. Also, why wasn't he doing the accent in the job that went sideways? Because the first time we see them robbing a bank, he's doing a British accent.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Because I remember thinking at the time, like, it wasn't a good accent, but it was an interesting accent. I kind of enjoyed it. It was funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get to the second job, this climactic job, and he's not doing the accent.
And I think he was tanking this job on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
He
He was
was
definitely trying to fuck with Keanu, because I think it was a gut check. He was basically trying to turn Keanu to the dark side.
Yes. And I think he was trying to get rid of the other two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like send them back to the vault, and he was looking to go without them.
I'm going to go twisted on this. This might actually get me to recommend it. It was kind of a Sith thing. He was the lead Sith trying to get rid of his friend, you know, the Darths, and turn Keanu.
Because he also knew in the end that if his friend made the jump, he wasn't going to survive it.
Right.
He was just using his body and his ability to pull the cord to get the cash out.
Right.
Like he knew there was no way he could survive it, that he was close to death. And then, of course, the other guy that was the Rosie has like a, you know, a mysterious death himself.
Yeah.
So he was planning on getting rid of the whole gang.
Right. But he wanted to, I think up until the end, he wanted to turn Keanu to have a new sidekick.
But then something changed where he left him behind.
Well, I think when he, I think the insurance policy
Yeah.
was kind of the final test, and when he didn't go along, when he still resisted it, he kind of gave up on him.
Yeah.
During that bank job that goes sideways, though, we see this security guard who looks a lot like Brian Baumgartner from The Office, Kevin.
I really thought that was him.
I
I
had to
had
look
to
it
look
up.
it
I
up.
was sure it was him.
I made some chili. Don't take your gun out.
I Googled it and I found a tweet from Brian Baumgartner saying, like, how old do you think I am?
Well, he's younger.
Brian Baumgartner is my age.
Right.
We were both born the same year. He was like 17 or 18 when this movie was, maybe 19. Well,
Okay,
that's
maybe.
91, so he would have been 18 when it was made.
Okay.
The cop
So
was older than 18.
that's true.
But in this job that goes sideways, there's this cop, undercover cop, we're not necessarily undercover, but
Off
plainclothes
duty, I
cop.
think. I think he may have just been off duty.
Yeah, maybe off duty cop, at, you know, who's one of the hostages. And he happens to be right next to the security guard. And he, you know, shows his gun, tells him he's a cop. And the security guard was like, no, don't do it, don't do it. And
Right.
he tries to be the good guy with the gun. And yeah, that goes about as well as good guy with a gun is always ever going to go.
The whole, and that was, I think Swayze's or Bodie's character was just hoping they would just get caught, you know, that the cops would come and they'd be stuck back in the vault or something like that, and then he'd get out of there with the drawer money on his own, and with Jimmy Carter. And then yeah, instead they wind up with the guy with the gun who ch tries to play the hero, and that leads to a lot of people getting killed.
Two of the gang members, a bunch of people in the bank. Keanu gets shot. They later reveal that he's wearing a vest.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that they showed that he was injured despite the vest.
Injuries are irrelevant though, 'cause I mean, how many times did he, you know, bang up his
Well,
knee, he couldn't walk, and then all of a sudden he's just running again with no problem.
but you know, the vest didn't just completely nullify any effect of the bullet. He still had the wind knocked out of him. He still
Right.
had a bruise. I appreciate that they showed that, you know, there is, you still do get hurt if you're wearing a vest.
You know, I can't fault any of the action in this movie. I mean, I think Bigelow, you know, went on to do the Hurt Locker and stuff. You know, she kind of knew her stuff. Very reminiscent of Clint Eastwood, you know, those older movies.
Another deeply stupid moment. You know, Keanu gets left behind at the bank, and so they go to, they're arresting him.
Yeah.
He's an FBI agent,
Right.
and yet he speaks after being Mirandized. I watched this one YouTube channel, Legal Eagle. It's an actual lawyer giving, talking about various cases and just giving, discussing all legal matters. Highly recommend the channel. But one thing that he has made very, very clear on a regular basis: don't say a fucking word to a cop unless your lawyer is present.
Yeah.
You don't ever do that. So seeing an FBI agent talking after he's been Mirandized was just like, if anybody should know better, it's him.
But he didn't take the arrest seriously. And why should he either? They're trying to pin the cop getting killed on him when it's like the cop got himself killed by pulling a gun out in the middle of a bank robbery. Like, it was kind of dumb. Like, so what if they take the money? You get an opportune moment and let them go out.
It was just a deeply stupid moment to give Keanu, a reason to flee.
Right, and it would have been different if the bank robbers had like hurt anybody before then. But instead, they have just taken the room, over and had everybody lying down, and nobody was, they've threatened people, of course, but no one had been killed up until that point or even hurt. And then it escalated quickly.
Oh yeah. Goes very sideways. They start to arrest Keanu. He runs out and goes after with his partner and goes after Buddy.
Well, yeah, Busey gives the story of, don't let him go out in like a black and white car, like a criminal, let me take him in. And of course, dumb McKinley agrees to
Yeah.
it.
So they go after Swayze's character. There's this ridiculous moment at a airport where they killed Busey. They could have easily killed, Keanu. They had the gun right there, but they decide to take him.
Yeah, Utah gets in the way of Busey killing Bodhi. Like could have had it all solved and done there, because he's so afraid of his girlfriend getting killed.
And that sets up something we haven't discussed yet. One of my suggested titles was Adrenaline Junkie Rom-Com. This is a deeply romantic movie if you look at at Swayze and Keanu's characters.
Definitely.
There is a total, like, beat for beat rom-com almost.
Right, from opposite ends of the tracks.
It's actually almost Romeo and Juliet.
He's a criminal. He's a cop. Just cue Salisbury Hill.
That should have been the remake. Hugh Grant and Julie, what was her name? Ocean's 11. I can't think of her name.
Oh, Julia Roberts.
Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts should have been the remake. But okay, so that all goes sideways, and he's keeping Bodhi alive because Bodhi has to check in with, what was his name?
Rosie,
Rosie, to save the girlfriend.
who shows his face on the camera for the tape of the insurance policy, was like, wow, everybody's stupid.
So that's why he's keeping Bodhi alive. And eventually he does release her, and she runs away from Rosie toward Keanu. And I'm thinking, okay, she's going to try to beat the shit out of him.
How does she even know Keanu was there?
Don't know. But
Most like most people, what, she just knew he jumped out of a plane without a parachute after? Like there was no part of the plan where, oh yeah, and Keanu's going to be here with me, and then we'll let you go.
the last time they spoke to each other, she found out he was a cop and she was screaming at him and broke up with him.
And she was all regretful of that, and then he was like, some other time.
Deeply stupid movie.
Yes.
And so then Bodhi gets away because he's basically got Keanu by the balls the whole time.
Yeah.
And Keanu literally goes to the ends of the earth to chase this one guy.
Oh yeah.
This bank robber. Not even as like a serious case. Not on his own time, using FBI resources to chase this one guy down in multiple countries.
Now, was he using FBI resources, or was he doing this on his own? Well, I know he still had the badge at the end.
He still had the badge, and he brought the cavalry in, so I assumed it was using
that's true.
Agency resources.
The Australian police were there. Right.
So I assumed it was using, you know, FBI resources. Now, you said the ending reeked of test screenings.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of poetic.
Like, this, you know, when you have this whole thing after the big climactic, you know, and then all of a sudden it's just, okay, now we're out here in Australia.
Okay, so the audiences weren't cool with Bodhi getting away with it, is what you were saying.
That's what I think, yeah.
Okay. But earlier in the film, he does say, it's okay if you die doing what you love.
True.
And Keanu at one point tells him, you have a death wish. And, of course, he dies while surfing. Keanu tracks him down on this beach in Australia. They tussle. He handcuffs him. And there's this subplot about this 50-year storm. Massive storm that comes around every 50 years.
He's got the fucking Farmer's Almanac.
Deeply stupid movie.
And right on time, there's that 50-year storm. That's how it works.
So Keanu decides to let him go so he can surf this 50-year storm because he knows he's not going to survive this.
Maybe. I mean, it was kind of an I Smell sequel, I thought.
See, that's interesting. Okay, if you look at it that way, I get your point. Again, the foreshadowing suggests it was the plan all along. Particularly the die doing what you love line.
You know, so he handcuffs him and then doesn't hit, and then lets him go, though? I mean, come on.
I read it as, yeah, he did die.
Yeah.
But they don't establish whether or not you kind of see him...
disappears, you know, into the surf.
This man. Massive wave coming up on him and, like, yeah, he's probably not going to make it. But I think, you know, maybe it kind of tried to play it both ways, where it's either this poetic ending where he died doing what he loved, as you mentioned earlier... Or if they had gotten the money, it could have been a sequel.
I Smell sequel.
Yeah. It could have set that up, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, on to sequels and remakes. Alcon Entertainment and Warner Brothers released a remake of the film in 2015, which received mostly negative reviews.
Yeah, why would you remake this?
I don't know. It is deeply stupid and very dated, and...
I understand there's a musical...
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And the whole time I was thinking, I want to fucking see the musical version of this.
I'm moderately curious about the sequel, but I'm very curious about the musical. On to Brains?
On to Brains.
I think I'm still going to stick at a 3.5. I just, it's fun, but I don't quite think I can recommend it.
I'm right there with you. Wonderful action scenes. Some bad acting by Keanu, of course, which, I mean, it's kind of synonymous. Some great, though, by McKinley and Busey. We didn't even mention Tank Girl.
Lori Petty plays the girlfriend.
I mean, just kind of her usual, you know, performance. But, you know, it works here.
She's kind of the same person in everything, too, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it works here, whereas... You really couldn't see Keanu Reeves as an FBI agent. I'm sorry. And you know, if he pulls up as your lawyer, you're going to be like, I think I need another attorney, you know?
I was thinking that in the beginning when we see him on the gun range. I'm like, I just don't buy him shooting a gun.
Right. You just don't. And, you know, so, and of course, the script is just... Why did they do this? Why could they have written something that made somewhat sense, you know? Like have his cover be blown later in the movie, you know? Right. Why would you do it halfway through? I think if I'm flipping around, I wouldn't turn it off if I saw it on late at night. But I would never tell anybody, oh yeah, you gotta see this. Right. So 3.5 right there with you. Yeah, if I didn't say that already.
So what have we learned?
We learned... Oh, I closed my notes out already. I
Learn
thought
to
we were
keep your
done.
notes open until we
Yes,
were done
I
recording.
learned to keep my notes open until I'm sure it was like really good too, but you know.
Same thing.
Wait, it's loading.
Okay.
This better be good. Oh, yes, we learned dead men make the worst skydivers.
And I learned that some people get way too philosophical about their hobbies. And that's it for Point Break. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing A Scanner Darkly. This wasn't intentional, but there is kind of an arc with these.
Yeah.
Point Break, and this kind of messed it up a little bit because I think we both went into Point Break expecting to hate it,
Oh yeah, totally.
not
I
expecting
totally.
to almost recommend it.
I was kind of stunned where I'm like, oh my God, I could be recommending this movie. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, there's still an hour to go and he's blown his cover. Oh God, what have they done?
Kind of an argument for expectation management, but
Yeah.
the idea was, or the unintentional idea, a typical Keanu 90s movie that we were going to hate, and then Scanner Darkly, which is very kind of controversial.
I've always wanted to see this one, actually.
I've seen it, but it was a long time ago. I remember kind of liking it. Has a very similar plot. It's also about an undercover cop.
Oh, yeah.
And then Watcher, which is like universally loved, and people say it's like an amazing performance from him.
I don't even think I'm familiar with that one.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard quite a bit about it. So
Yeah.
there's kind of an arc here, a little bit ruined by this one in the fact that, in the sense that we both liked it way more than we expected to. But neither of us is really raving about Keanu's acting in it, so
Right.
we'll see how that
In
goes as this
spite of
comes
him,
along.
this was a good movie.
Yeah.
Not because of him.
Busey, McGinley, it kind of had to be.
Yeah.
Until then, of course, always remember and never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There you
are.
are.